Amen. I appreciate that special very much. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19 tonight, as we get back to our study through the Gospels. Thank you for that song. They sing about the land where the soul never dies, and in the message tonight, we're going to learn about the place where the soul does die, where the soul is separated from God forever in a place called hell. Several weeks ago, we looked at this passage of Scriptures on two different occasions. We spent quite a bit of time, the first message, as we looked at this passage, just trying to wrestle through, was this an actual event, or was it just a made-up story? And I didn't give you anything definitive. I leave that to you to study out and discover. But I believe the main point to take away is, if this is a story or a parable, as we would call it, and not an actual event, it doesn't change anything about the reality of hell. Parables were always about real things. Parables were about seeds and sowers and trees and people. And so even if there are some who would attack this patch of Scripture, they would say it's a parable, therefore what it teaches us about hell doesn't really matter, and that's simply not true. I tend to believe this is an actual event. I tend to believe some of the parables, if you will, the stories that Jesus told were actual events. Some of them were made-up stories. Some of them were actual events. That's my personal belief. You study that out, but it doesn't change anything about the reality of hell. We then spent some time learning about Sheol. I showed you my amazing artistic skills. We had the whiteboard up, and that was a lot of fun, or not. But I just wanted to show you, and we spent some time talking about the place of the dead and what I believe changed the way things occurred at this time during this account in Scripture. And after the ascension of Jesus, after he died for our sins, that things changed. That Jesus did, in fact, lead captivity captive. He took those that were in the place of the dead, in Abraham's bosom, also called paradise, that he took them up into heaven after he presented his blood as the final full atonement for the sins of man forever. And now things are a little different. I want to talk to you about this passage of Scripture tonight. If you are able physically, would you please stand with me? If I gave the message a title tonight, it would be this: I am tormented in this flame. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I pray that you would teach us by your Spirit, give us understanding. We know that these truths are spiritually discerned. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts tonight and remind us of the reality of hell. God, may it give us grateful hearts that you sent Jesus to suffer and die for us, that we could escape your wrath forever. And God, may it stir up our hearts for the multitudes around us who do not know Christ. May the reality of hell be ever present in our thoughts, so that we might be witnesses unto you. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Proverbs 27 and verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full. Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Matthew 10:28. Jesus says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The word of God is clear that hell is a real place, and that it's a place of eternal punishment. I don't like to preach about hell. I don't like to talk about hell. I don't even like to think about hell. But studying the Word of God compels me to do so. Lazarus had a terrible time on earth. He was a beggar. Let me just do a quick poll. How many of you have ever had to ask someone else for help? Buddy? All right? How many of you enjoyed having to ask someone else for help? Yeah, just if there was nothing else going on in Lazarus's life to make it difficult here on earth, he was a beggar. He had to beg just to have some crumbs to eat. And most of us can't even begin to imagine what that would be like. Most of us are so proud we would never ask for help if we needed it. We certainly wouldn't want to come to a place where we would be begging for bread. That's where he was. He didn't have anything, and not only that, but he was covered with sores. The Bible says the dogs came and licked his sores, and he was in a terrible place. But when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He departed a lifetime of suffering, and he entered into an eternity of paradise. Isn't that good? You might say it's terrible that he had such a bad life, but listen, the trade-off was great. He didn't have much here, but the retirement plan was amazing. But then the rich man who had it all. Don't you love the way the Bible says it? He fared sumptuously every day. Just love that word, sumptuous. Just sounds delicious, doesn't it? It does. And that's what he had. He had it good. He had nice clothes and a nice place. And listen, his house is the place to go. If you want to beg for crumbs, man, you want to go to this guy's house. He's got the best crumbs. And that's where he was. He had everything that he wanted. But guess what? Like we learned this morning, we're reminded of this morning, death is the great equalizer. Lazarus had an appointment with death, but so did the rich man have an appointment with death. But when he died, he was buried, and he lift up his eyes in verse 23 in hell. He lift up his eyes being in torment. I want you to know that he was tormented, first of all, by what he saw. He was tormented by what he saw. He lift up his eyes being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, there's some things about the human soul that I just kind of always have understood. I've never really thought about it, never really studied it out. Just things that you just get. Like, I don't know how you picture it, but when somebody dies, their body's left behind, their spirit goes away. But when you imagine somebody's spirit, don't you imagine it being kind of like their body? It's not just like a wisp of smoke or something. This rich man had eyes. He saw. But his body was in the grave. But his spirit was in hell. And his spirit could see. He saw. He saw the torment that he was in, and he saw Abraham afar off. He saw Lazarus in his bosom. He was tormented by the flame, and we'll talk about that. But first of all, he's tormented by what he saw when he opened his eyes being in hell. He saw the torment. He saw the flame. He saw Abraham. But listen, he saw Abraham way away from where he was. Now, he identified Abraham. He knew who he was. He remembered Lazarus, and he knew who he was. And he was tormented by the fact that he could see them somewhere else. It was tormenting to him. He was tormented by what he saw. He was tormented by what he felt. Verse 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame." And no doubt you've spent your life in church hearing messages about this very thing. I'll never forget Brother Rick Adams standing here and in other pulpits and preaching why the rich man cried. And I can remember him talking about that. Just imagine when you dip your finger in water, just the amount of water that would cling to the underside of your finger. Now, does that sound very satisfying to you? How bad of a position would you have to be in? How bad off would you have to be in that that would be a dream for you? Do you understand that the torment that he was in, that the relief he was asking for, gives us an indication of the level of torment that he was in? He was tormented by what he saw. He was tormented by what he felt. Relief cannot come to you once you're in that place. Relief cannot come from water that clings to the underside of a man's finger. Relief from hell must be taken in this life or not at all. Relief from hell must be taken in this life or not at all. How many of you have ever ridden motorcycles? You see your hands? Yeah, a few of you. Pretty fun, aren't they? What's one of the first things you learn from being around motorcycles after they've been ridden for a minute? Stay away from the tailpipe. Men? Brother CJ got a motorcycle the other day, and I hated to do it, but he asked me to ride it for him, so I did. Pulled up to his house on his motorcycle, and it didn't take more than about a minute and a half before one of his little girls walked up and burned her shin on that tailpipe. Yeah, see, that, well, the faces that you're making makes me see that you understand. Her poor little leg, it turned blistered white just like that. And she was screaming, and it just breaks your heart. Don't you hate when kids get hurt? You know, I feel bad for adults, but they ought to know better. Right? Because some of you older people, you do stupid stuff too. And I hate it for you, but not nearly as bad when a kid does, because they don't know. She was screaming, and the pain, that there's a different, pain is different depending on what kind of injury it is, right? Like when you cut yourself with a miter saw, there's a certain kind of pain that goes with that. I didn't know that before, but I know that now. You cut yourself with a pocket knife, you break your arm, right? You skin your knee. There's different kinds of pain. But I'm telling you, burns are just something altogether different, aren't they? Her mama, who's a nurse, took her in and first aided her up. And with just a few minutes, the tears were gone. And, she had a pink bandage. Everything was better. Little lidocaine and pink bandage, things get better real quick. I want you to get that. When the Bible talks about travail, it often talks about the pain of labor. There are some stupid men in the world that like to think that they could handle the pain of giving birth, and I'm not one of those stupid men. I don't think I could take it. I don't want to find out. The Bible also says that the pain of it is forgotten when the child is delivered. When that baby's laid on his mother's breast, she forgets about the pain. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is that every pain that you face in this life is temporary. There's a release from that pain. But the rich man who cried out and said, I'm tormented in this flame, is still tormented in this flame today. The person who died 2,000 years ago and was cast into hell because of their unbelief, they are still tormented in the flame of hell right now tonight. For 2,000 years, they've been tormented. And there's no end to their torment. He was tormented by what he saw. He was tormented by what he felt. And relief from hell must be taken in this life or not at all. Relief from hell is only possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was tormented by what he saw. He was tormented by what he felt. He was tormented by what he remembered. Verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that in that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. He said, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. You see, it's interesting to me because I believe that in hell that there is a veil that falls away. And we're going to talk about some of the things that he became aware of when he got there, but he knew Abraham and he recognized Lazarus. He could have recognized anybody, but he saw the beggar and he said, send the beggar to cool my tongue. Remember? I think that it bothered him to remember his previous life, to remember this life. And Abraham reminded him, I want you to remember that when you were alive, you had a great. But you didn't care much for Lazarus then. But Lazarus had it terrible then, but now he is in comfort. He was tormented by what he saw. He was tormented by what he felt. He was tormented by what he remembered. Does that not happen to you today? Are you ever tormented by your past? Things that you've done, things that others have done to you. Are you not tormented by that at times? Aren't you thankful that God allows you to kind of put those things out of your memory from time to time? And every once in a while they come back, but the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of eternity, the hope of God's word, those things can overcome the demons of our past, if you will. That you can put those things aside. You can forget those things which are behind because you can reach forth to the things that are before. You have hope in Christ, and so you're not tormented by the things that you remember so badly. Is anybody with me? I don't know if you're haunted by your past, but I am sometimes, and I'm thankful that I can put that away, and I can focus on Jesus, and I can think about his kingdom, and I can think about who Christ is and what he's done for me and living for him. And get this, in hell, you don't have that. Every soul that's in hell tonight, they have nothing to look forward to. They have no hope. They have nothing good to put away the thoughts of the bad. They can only remember and be tormented by their memories forever and ever and ever and ever. I promise you this tonight, that there are men and women in hell today who somebody, probably from this church, knocked on their door and tried to share Jesus with them, and they rejected Christ, and they ended up in hell. And I promise you, they will remember that moment they rejected Christ for the rest of eternity. What a horrible thing to have to remember rejecting Jesus, have to remember passing up your opportunity to be saved forever and ever. He was tormented by what he saw, what he felt, what he remembered. He was tormented by what he learned. Look at verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. What an incredible, incredible truth that was revealed. And it was tormenting to him. I think it's interesting that the rich man didn't say, can I come over there? Obviously, he would have a desire to get out of the flame and be where Abraham was. But he didn't ask that. He said, I think he had this understanding that I can't get over there, but maybe Lazarus could come over here for a second. But he learned that where he was would be where he would be. And there was no escape. I don't know if you've ever felt trapped. Even if it's not real. Are any of you claustrophobic? A few of you are. I'm not claustrophobic, but I think I could get that way in certain circumstances. My sister's terribly claustrophobic. We were going to go up. We were on a trip, and we were going to go up one of these high-rise buildings, super high skyscraper, and they put us in the back of an elevator, and then they began to pack about 50 people inside the elevator. And my sister, who at the time was, I don't know, maybe she was 13 or 14 years old, my sister knocked down grown men getting out of that elevator. Like, they were just like bowling pins. She parted them like the Red Sea. I mean, she was out of there. And I was standing in the back. I almost got left on there. Like, she's gone. Mom and Dad are going after her. I'm standing in the back like, see ya. You know, it was. Some people are claustrophobic because they feel trapped, and that's a terrible feeling. I told you before, and most of you figured this out, I'm not very smart, and I certainly wasn't very smart when I was little. My cousins were always really kind to me and did nice things. One time, I was stupid. They said, hey, I wonder if you could fit inside that ice chest. I was a little guy, and it's like I didn't have anything else but to be small and fit in small spaces. Like, that was my thing, right? So I got inside the ice chest, and they very promptly closed the lid and sat on it. Now, they were kind enough to unplug the drain hole so I wouldn't suffocate. Thought that was thoughtful of them. I don't know how long I was in there, but it didn't take long for sheer terror to overcome me. I couldn't move. I couldn't get out. And it just was terrifying. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I mean, if any of you had a big brother, big sister, they probably sat on you at some time and you couldn't get away. Some of you were the big brother or sister, and you're just evil. It's only by the grace of God that you hear it all. I was trying not to look at Dean when I said that, but I did. I want you to get that feeling for a second, being trapped. It's honestly, it's one of the reasons I've tried not to do anything to get myself arrested. I've tried not saying I've been perfect, not saying I've never done anything wrong. I'm saying I've tried not to do anything to get arrested because I don't know that I could take it. I don't know that I have the mental capacity to be hooked up, to be put in the back of the car. I don't know that my spirit could take the sound of that door slamming, knowing I can't get out. I'm anybody getting a little anxious right now just talking about it? I want you to. I want you to feel that anxiety because I want you to understand the weight of what Abraham said to the rich man. You can't leave there. And we can't come over there. You are trapped where you are forever. He was tormented by what he learned. When he figures out that there's going to be no relief, an amazing thing happens. Because the rich man, he moves away from a focus on himself. And he casts his eyes back home. And this is an incredible thing to me. Because I believe this with all my heart. You take anybody that's in hell tonight and let them back on earth. I promise you, the person who had been in hell and came back to this planet, it's not possible. It's absolutely impossible. But were it possible, I promise you, they would be the greatest soul winner the world could ever know. Verse 27 says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, listen to this, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, no, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And I want you to listen to this incredibly profound truth that we need to get a hold of tonight. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He focuses on himself for a while. I'm tormented in this flame. I need some relief. Please help me. Have mercy on me. When he figures out he can go nowhere with that, his attention turns to his brethren, and he says, Abraham, I need you to help. I may be stuck here forever, but I don't want my brothers to end up in this place. Send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to my father's house that he can testify to them so that they don't come to this place of torment. And Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What's he saying? They have the word of God. They have the scriptures. They have the word. They have the law and the prophets. And if they want to be saved, if they want to escape the place of torment, if they don't want to end up in that place, then all they have to do is hear the word of God and believe it. No. No. Send him, because if someone came from the dead, then they would believe. You know what this tells me? I believe this. I believe the rich man heard the word of God. I believe the rich man knew the word of God. I believe the rich man had every opportunity to know God, to believe in God, but he rejected God. And he was terrified. He was tormented by what he learned, because he learned that the word of God was all it took. And it wasn't enough for him. And he was tormented by the thought that it wouldn't be enough for his brothers either. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. John 5:39. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The reality, friends, is that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We all face eternal separation from God because of our unbelief. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If your faith isn't in Christ tonight, if you die in your sins, then you will spend eternity in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. And I plead with you tonight to believe the scriptures. You know in your heart that you've sinned. You know that you deserve the wrath of God. And if you will just trust, if you'll believe that Jesus paid your price when he died on the cross, if you'll trust in the fact that he rose again the third day, you can call on his name and be saved. Friends, it really is that simple. You have death abides on you. The wrath of God is on you. You are headed to hell. All you have to do is repent and trust in Jesus, and he will give you eternal life. He paid the price. And he's made it simple for us to come to him with faith like a child. If you are saved, if you know you're going to heaven, I want to remind you of some scriptures I read this morning from Jude. Jude 22 and 23. Jude 22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Every lost person on this planet is headed to hell, and we ought to have enough compassion to give them the gospel. We ought to have enough concern to warn them of the judgment to come. Charles Spurgeon said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. I need to be reminded of the reality of hell all the time. And so do you. We need to be reminded that hell is real and that every single human being you ever see is going to spend eternity somewhere. The question is tonight, what are we going to do about it? If you would please stand with me. So our musicians come, I just want to plead with you, if you've never been saved, that tonight you'd understand you can escape the punishment that you deserve if you'll turn from your sin to Christ, trust in him, pray and ask him to forgive you, ask him to be your Savior. If you are saved, then we ought to pray for a burden tonight if we don't have one. God, help us to get a burden. We would take the gospel to the lost and dying around us. If the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight, you come while we sing.